Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Justice Society World War II.
Yep, something a bit different.
Yes, so this is our first and only Justice Society film.
Yep.
It is a sequel to Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Though it doesn't really tie in that much.
No, not barely at all.
I don't know, is this really a bit like how last week's one wasn't really a Batman film, but it had a Batman title? I don't really know that the Justice Society... Well, I think this is more a Flash film than it is a Justice Society film, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, but
yeah,
I don't think it really matters either way. I mean, he jumps into the Justice Society during World War II, so
yes.
It's kind of a bit of both.
So we open the film in World War II, and the Nazis, as they always do in films, are looking for magical artifacts.
I mean, presumably they may have done it in real life as well.
We get introduced to the team that's going to fight and prevent these magical artifacts from breaking out to the real world. Rex Tyler, a.k.a. Hourman, who has a chemical that gives him super strength and power.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
Dinah Lance, a.k.a. Black Canary, who has... sonar powers, screaming powers.
Is she always in the Justice Society?
I don't know. I think it's normally she's a contemporary hero to...
Yeah.
The modern... Yeah. Though obviously there's various time periods that many of these heroes can represent. We get the Jay Garrick version of the Flash.
Yes, that was nice to see.
Yes, which does make note-taking for this particular film quite difficult.
Well, you can say JG.
Yeah, no, I'm...
B-A.
No, I have figured out a system, yeah, it's similar to that. Carter Hall, a.k.a. Hawkman.
Love him.
Who, I think the Carter Hall version's the version we've seen in most adaptations in live action.
Mm-hmm.
Though it's obviously, I think the only time he's really featured that heavily in anything we've watched, he was actually a villain.
Oh, interesting.
Which was the Justice League compilation film we watched.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader of the team is Wonder Woman.
Of course.
This time voiced by Stana Katic.
Yeah, you did a right job.
And actually, because that's one thing I've noticed is that she isn't voiced with an American accent. She actually is voiced like she's
vaguely
European.
Yeah, which, I thought so. Yeah. I mean, it's very noticeable. It's not a... But yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we then cut to Barry Allen and Iris West having a picnic in Metropolis.
Yeah.
Okay,
this isn't World War II.
Yep. And Barry cannot turn off.
Yeah, well, I mean, he hasn't in any other film we've seen.
His relationship with Iris is secret because... Because Flash wants to kind of protect his It's the old, oh no, I can't let anyone know that we're dating, because then if they find out my identity, they'll target you.
Yeah.
Which
Iris
fair
is, argument, it's yeah.
Yeah, which Iris is thrilled about. So, meanwhile, Superman is fighting Brainiac. And Flash arrives to help because Brainiac has kryptonite. And Brainiac fires a kryptonite bullet at Superman. And as Flash goes to catch the bullet, he ends up in a light tunnel.
Yeah, look, we all know what's going to happen. We've seen the title of the film.
Yeah.
There's like literally no surprise here. But that's fine, because you kind of like, you see it and you kind of want it to get on and happen. Like, I found myself like frustrated that it hadn't happened earlier. I was like, come on, we know this is happening. It's getting back in. And like, it's the problem with any of these kind of like, any sort of time travel-y sort of stories, is like, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
the Flash, once again, as happens in every film we see with the Flash as the kind of the lead character, he accidentally runs into a place he shouldn't.
I mean, it's kind of less accidental each time, almost.
Well, yes. To be fair, compared to Flashpoint, it was very deliberate, to be fair.
Yes.
Also, he finds that Dr. Fate is guiding him.
Yes.
Which does kind of pay off. Sort of. Not really. So, meanwhile, the Justice Society are fighting Nazis. And
continuing to fight Nazis, which is cool.
Yes. Absolutely. When Flash suddenly appears in front of Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman does not react well to strange being with the same powers as their Flash, except in a fancy weird suit.
Yes.
Though I can't quite tell if she's going, oh, are you one of ours or one of the... It's just like, no, don't trust you for...
I mean, he has just kind of appeared from nowhere.
Yes.
But I agree. I mean, like, you know, he doesn't look very Nazi.
But he does then save Steve Trevor with the help of the Jay Garrick Flash, which allows them to allow Steve to land safely after his plane shot down. Steve Trevor's also part of the team.
Yes.
The Justice Society then discuss what's happened. Barry explains that he says, oh, I'm from the future, which is their working theory.
Yes.
Which Jay Garrick appears to have considered the possibility. Jay Garrick, of course, being the responsible Flash, has never travelled in time. Oh, and also, the Nazis are defeated in the village. We just can demonstrate Justice Society's power. Steve Trevor also reveals that he has...
I mean, they're powerful, but it's not like they've wiped out all the Nazis. Like, there's still Nazis around, so, like, they've got work to do.
Absolutely. On that front, the Justice Society then meet with their pet journalist, Shakespeare.
Yeah, looks a bit like Tony Stark.
Yes, though the Flash. Though Barry thinks he looks like someone else.
Yes, I mean, and clearly he does.
Yes, he does, because kind of all the faces look the same in this film. But this is done in the same style as Tomorrowverse, which I'm still not sold on. I think it looks very cheap.
Yeah, it is. But at least the voice acting's better.
Unlike
Death in the Family, like, it's not like I hate everything.
So, meanwhile, we get the start of this bit that goes through the film, which is Steve Trevor keeps proposing to Diana
every day.
and it's just kind of, it's kind of done as a joke. And I think even look, Barry called
out. I mean,
out,
it's
thought,
done as a, it's done as a joke initially, but I think like as a sign of like their different cultures and her not realizing he means it, and etc. I mean, it's not fully played out as a joke because it's kind of important at the end is that you know they understand like why Steve doesn't take it as a joke and why Diana kind of is like no, why would I get married kind of thing.
It's a culture clash and
yeah, I mean, I didn't find it really, I didn't find it treating jokingly.
And I think it is one of those, obviously, I always hate using, of its time, it also kind of makes sense. I know that that was something that was very common at, in the middle of, at both the kind of major world wars, was people would get engaged very quickly.
I mean, we don't really know how long they've been together, do
that's
we?
The, yeah, we don't, or even, well, it is hinted that they are together. They're not going to get explicit on it.
No, no. I mean, clearly, if he's asking her to marry him, they're together. But, like, yeah. I mean, we don't know if it's been a month or, like, a year or 2 years. Like, I mean, we don't know that he's jumping into it. Just that she keeps saying no.
So, the other thing that becomes clear is that both Jay Garrick and Barry Allen have lost some of their speed. Or at least using their powers is using more of their energy than usual. So it turns out the reason that Steve was in the village in question was to get hold of some Nazi intelligence. They're looking for an artifact, but they can't break the code. Though they do know that there is a code breaker being kept in a Nazi castle nearby.
And that's what they're going to have to go for.
And the Justice Society decided that even though it's a bad idea to have someone with a future with us, because he could end up trapped in the past, they still want Barry to join them for research purposes. Also, at this point, we establish that the team has Morse code communicators, earpieces. They only get used in the scene and then don't tie into anything else. But
like Barry wants one. It's like, do you know Morse code? Like, okay.
One, that, and two, Wonder Woman goes, no, 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 you don't need one. You're with me.
Well, and he doesn't need one.
He doesn't. So the party kind of look through the castle. Oh, that's one other thing. I do like the friendship that Black Canary and Hawkman have in this film.
Yeah, yeah, I do as well.
It's a great little kind of mini relationship. Also, Black Canary mentions basically the reason that she's kind of being quite harsh on Barry is that Barry's from the future but doesn't, has never heard of the Justice Society, which
yeah, she's worried that they've never made any impact.
I mean, it's almost like the Justice Society was meant to be a massive secret.
Well, yeah, but I, you know,
yeah, anyway, we meanwhile, Shakespeare has joined the team as well. So Steve, Barry and Wonder Woman end up finding a torture chamber. Steve mentions that Shakespeare's gone off to investigate another hall where he finds a prisoner who is waiting for him and has a package for him that's clearly a Superman costume.
Yeah.
A guard then fires on Shakespeare, and it turns out he's bulletproof.
Yes, it's your first hint that it is not Tony Stark.
So, whilst one half of the team find Dr. Fate, And it is Dr. Fate who is the prisoner who can break the code down. And also later he kind of mentions, oh, I'm the one that left the package for Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare reveals that he is Clark Kent.
Da, da, da.
And when Barry then goes, Clark, Clark, it's me! We know each other! It becomes clear that it's a different Clark Kent, which means that Flash hasn't travelled in time.
Travelled in universe.
Yes.
Multiverse.
Because we have to... Everything has to be the multiverse now.
Yeah, to be fair, this was before the massive multiverse push, but yeah.
Yeah.
But also this explains why Barry's future hasn't heard of the Justice Society.
Yes. So it's not quite clear. So is this happening in parallel? Is it... it's not quite...
I mean, they don't explain. There's no explanation. It's just that's why they're not from the same timeline or same universe. So there's no reason that he should have heard of them.
Also, it does mean that Barry Allen is not screwing up the timeline.
In his timeline.
To be fair, yes.
Who knows what he's doing in the other one? I mean, he might be going further and screwing up an entire.
Well, there is another as with the previous as with Flashpoint, it turns out there is a commonality with Flashpoint. We'll get to that. So the team all head over to Dr. Fate. At this point, Clark Kent disappears. He disappears for pretty much the rest of the film. The two Flashes talk about the multiverse. Dr. Fate gives random pieces of information that don't necessarily all tie together. And he decodes the intelligence, which says that what they're looking for is in the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we get a submarine scene.
Which is awesome.
Oh, the submarine.
Always like to go, and we always know what happens when you go in the sea.
Yep. So, the submarine encounters three ships that are heading to the same location. The ships drop depth charges on the sub, though the Flashes are able to fix any leaks and restart the engine. Wonder Woman then gets herself fired out of a torpedo to throw depth charges at the ships, when suddenly the Atlanteans come and help them.
Which is cool.
And they redirect the team to... I think this is meant to be an outpost of Atlantis.
I suspect so. I didn't really give it much thought, to be honest.
Yes.
Oh, we're getting Atlantis kind of thing.
So the team arrives at this outpost where they're introduced to Aquaman, Arthur Curry, and his advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his advisor is actually an established supervillain.
Okay, cool.
Called Psycho Pirate.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
So, Psycho Pirate is his advisor and is controlling Aquaman. Because it turns out that this code was a trap. And Aquaman is being manipulated into working for the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Including Aquaman, who is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed character.
He's normally blonde-haired, blue-eyed, isn't he?
Yes, I know. But okay. He also does the Nazi salute.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the unusual bit, not the blonde-haired, blue-eyes.
Yes.
Because that's what Aquaman is.
I know. I was more pointing the fact that maybe Aquaman does fit... Well, this version of Aquaman does fit into the... Ideal.
Aryan ideal, yeah. Yes.
So, It turns out that the advisor is manipulating Aquaman into helping the Nazis to prolong the war so that then the Atlanteans can defeat the Nazis once they've won the war.
Yes, it's convoluted rubbish.
it's basically, we're going to prolong the war to weaken both sides, so we can...
Yeah, I mean, it literally is convoluted rubbish, but look, I appreciate having Aquaman in there. Uh-huh. I like just saying some kind of Aquaman. So, you know, I never really worry about how they sort of shoehorn this in, because none of the water stuff is really very needed.
Yes. So... Barry and Jay team up to phase through the floor so that they can, Justice Society can escape. I also like the fact that the sound effects they use when Barry hits anything, it's like it makes the same sound as bullets. So Aquaman and the advisor are going down to the trench to unleash some sort of monster from the gate. The team splits with Barry and Wonder Woman heading down to confront Aquaman as the rest of the team head to basically warn the surface world.
Mm-hmm.
So we follow the trench team first. The trench team fights Aquaman and the advisor. The advisor is able to then turn Wonder Woman, so she starts fighting Aquaman as he turns. And eventually it results in Aquaman opening the gate.
Yeah, which is the most important bit.
Yep. Meanwhile, the Atlanteans are marching on New York City. The Justice Society... arrive to cut them off, and it's kind of an even fight at first until the monsters from the trench arrive, including a giant kaiju.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though.
I did not realise when I started this podcast how many kaijus there was going to be.
Yeah, people like kaiju.
Yes, I like kaiju.
Oh, well, there you go.
Also, unfortunately, Hawkman is struck down in the air and bleeds out.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is actually... So Black Canary's there with him and...
She's sad and he's like, it's all right, I'm going to go resurrect and be with my love.
Yes, which... Yes, but you're going to die in front of Black Canary and she's upset. On the plus side, this does seem to boost her powers and also gives her the confidence to take her mask off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is that like an established
story no or something?
This is the problem when we don't really follow Black mm-hmm. Canary. She is also able to skin a monster alive with her scream.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
Meanwhile, our man is wounded during the fight because he's not using his chemical because he can only take it once every 24 hours. Jay Garrick is able to defeat a crab monster. And Wonder Woman and Aquaman are fighting.
Yes.
Aquaman is actually about to kill Wonder Woman when Steve Trevor drives a car into him, which distracts Aquaman long enough for Diana to destroy Aquaman's trident, which somehow breaks the spell of Aquaman.
Yeah, but that last thing, I mean, again, it's kind of hand-wavy rubbish, yeah. But, you know, it works.
But Aquaman, realizing what he's done, then retreats. However... The advisor watches on as a battalion of Nazi planes is approaching New York, which is quite impressive, considering that's the entire Atlantic they've flown over. But anyway, at this point, Steve Trevor is then stabbed in the back by the advisor.
Mm-hmm.
But something starts destroying the bombers. It is Superman.
Hooray!
And he's shaved. Meanwhile, a dying Steve Trevor finally gets Wonder Woman to agree to marry him, but he dies before she can get the ring.
Yeah. That's where you learn that sometimes you shouldn't put off things that you would like.
Which is then the advice Wonder Woman gives Barry as she gives him Steve's ring.
Well, I mean, I think that's quite sweet.
Oh, yeah, it is sweet, but it is a bit kind of like, I don't know, on the nose.
Well, I mean, like, these are films for kids.
This is not a film for kids.
Why? It's a film for kids.
There's blood, violence, and swearing.
Yeah, it's still a film for kids. I'm sorry. Like, have you seen the films kids watch, number one? What was it rated?
I'm going to double check, because I'm going to check now, certificate. It's a 12.
It's a film for kids.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not like six-year-old kids, but like, you know, teens, say.
Right, okay.
But what I'm saying is that, like, these are all animated films. It's, what, an hour and a half?
Hour and 24 minutes, yeah.
Right, an hour and a half. Like, this isn't supposed to be your, like, really obscure or dense or obtuse kind of, you know, morality
okay,
lesson.
Fair enough.
I think it's just like, you know, she probably has other things as mementos as Steve, and she doesn't want someone to make the same mistake as her in the moment, you know?
Also, in the chaos, the advisor has escaped.
Of course.
So, I don't know if that's setting up a Knowledge Justice Society film, if that he's going to turn up in some... Maybe he'll turn up in... Because there is a crisis film coming set in this universe. Anyway. So... Barry then travels back to his universe where literally only a second has passed.
I mean, that's kind of one of those tropes of these kind of things, though, isn't it? I mean, it's terrible, but it is very tropey. Time passed differently.
Which enables the Flash to grab the bullet and throw it into Brainiac's head. Look. Bang in the middle of his forehead. Superman just seems to go, oh, it's just the Flash doing Flash things. The Flash then proposes the idea of some sort of justice group or society or league.
Yeah, of course. To get the name in there.
Before he then goes to Iris and proposes to her.
I thought it was quite sweet.
Which is a sweet ending, yes. It is a sweet ending.
I mean, look, we've had so many, like... At least this told a story, beginning, middle, end. Things have genuinely had, like, motivation behind it. There's a little bit of hand-waving to get to the time travel.
Yeah.
But it was all right, you know... It was for an animated movie about this. It was fine. It was one of the more enjoyable ones recently.
And you know what else I like about the Tomorrowverse? They
it's
don't
over.
Do post credits.
Yeah, there was no post credits.
Yep.
It was great. But yeah, that's that. What's next? What we got coming up next?
Coming up next is another film set in the same universe. Because in this universe, we've not had Batman yet.
Well, I mean, that's fair. We haven't, so...
Also, for the sake of clarity, we're actually recording this the day after Batman Day, which I didn't know was a thing.
Well, I think it's a fairly recent thing, but it has been at least a few years of Batman and Superman has a day as well.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like an excuse for cinemas to screen Batman films, to be fair.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to be fair, DC put on a massive Batman exhibition in London, which sold out in seconds.
Wow.
With, like, all props from all the films and, like, Batmobiles and all the different Batman outfits, I think, across all the films. So, I mean, look, the reason they put the ones in the cinema they put in the cinema is because they're the most popular ones, which is quite funny because it's like, you know, you've got, like, the new ones and the Snyderverse ones. None of those got put in the cinema. It was all the Nolan ones.
Well, I think it was The Dark Knight, fair enough. Joker? Doesn't have Batman in it.
I mean, that was a surprising one, but I'm always surprised anyone wants to go see that. So.
And Batman,
because it's kind of miserable. Like, I don't understand why you'd want to see it twice. Like, you know, I watched Joker, it's fine, but I wouldn't want to see it again.
Yeah, that.
Like, I just don't know what I would get from it, but I, you know, I'm not dissing the film itself. I think it's very good. There's a limit. It's like, I don't know how many times I can see Oppenheimer again, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Just because it's, I think a lot of the impact is when you first see it. Hi, Elsie.
I'm kind of surprised that they didn't have, instead of Joker, they didn't have the Batman.
Just
analogically, it's the most recent.
Yeah, so that was the criticism I saw. It's like somebody was like going, well, why not put the most recent one that was good and that people liked and people might want to see again, but hey, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, that'll come eventually once they run out of films to put in cinemas.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen just yet, but yeah. You mean new films, like, so it's just running out of films generally.
Yeah. Anyway, the next film we're doing is Batman The Long Halloween, which specifically we're going to be doing the version that is the, because it was released as a part one and a part two, though there is a quote-unquote deluxe edition, which is the two films kind of bolted back-to-back.
Yeah.
So we are going to try and do it as one film. Even though it will be the longest film we have done for this podcast.
Probably not the longest podcast, though.
No, probably not. Also, I hope it isn't just an exact blow-for-blow retelling of The Long Halloween.
I've not read that.
I have. It's...
Well, I know, it's very much very long.
Oh, I mean, it's a... I've got to be honest, I think it's more loved for its art style than its story.
Okay.
Its art style is, the art is genuinely fantastic. The stories, the most interesting thing about the story is they basically paint Calendar Man as this Hannibal Lecter style villain.
Okay. It's already sounded worrying, but yeah, we'll see.
So after that, we'll be doing Aquaman King of Atlantis, which is a film of a three-part miniseries that has been released as a film as well. So the next film that we're actually seeing, just as the normal film as originally intended, is Injustice, which is an adaptation of the video game. Yes, I know. After which we'll be doing our first film of 2022.
Hey, catching up.
Which is Catwoman Hunted.
Oh, God. Exciting.
Which, yep, so that's what we've got coming up in the near future. Also, no, we're not doing Catwoman Hunted. We're doing that later because we're doing DC League of Super Pets first.
Yes. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, no, actually, no. Because we're doing Long Halloween.
Oh, have I made it all match again?
It matches again. So the League of Super Pets will be the 100th episode.
Hooray.
I
had persuaded Alan that we should break strict order so we could have League of Super Pets as the 100th episode. But now it seems like we've managed to do it anyway.
Yes.
League of Super Pets, Ozzy. What do you think of that? I know. There should be more cats. That's what Ozzy thinks.
Fair enough. Anyway.
Arms.
Oh, we've...
Oh, my God.
At least Ozzy... The time I've met Ozzy, he wouldn't come near me.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's really unusual for him. He's now currently in my arms, literally face to face with his eye.
So, have you appeared in any other podcasts recently?
No.
No? Okay.
No, literally had a bit of a lull. There's been a bit of emergencies behind the scenes of some of them, so...
Excellent.
But we'll be. By the time this goes out, I'll have been in another Moon Knight one. Almost certainly. Okay. Maybe the Iron Fist, but not that I know of right now.
Right, okay. Meanwhile, I'm still doing Rise of the Robots. By the time this comes out, we'll have started coverage of the second and final series of Robot Wars Extreme Warriors, which is the American series with American robots and presenters, but it's filmed in the UK Robot Wars arena. It is also quite possibly the worst of the series we have covered so far.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey. Off you go.
Anyway.
Or have you got to go through? Oh my God, I just put him down on the floor and he's back in my arms already.
We've still got like... Oh no, we did the calculations on this. If nothing else comes out on TV, I think we've still got 6 or 7 years of material.
No, I meant of the bad one. How many more of the episodes?
We've got 3 episodes recorded and we've got another 10 to go.
Oh...
Though, thankfully, as we get further on, one of the episodes is actually a load of British teams turn up.
Oh, so to get better then, or...?
Yes. We'll have a lot to talk about with that episode as well, but it's... Mm. It's complicated. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Batman The Long Halloween.
Yeah, I look forward to it, and take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. Thank you for listening.